Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Jake, have I told you I despise Billy Joe Saunders, or is that something I forgot to mention 15 times?
First time I've heard that.
Okay.
First time I've heard that.
I got Richie all fired up. He's texting me right now in the morning.
I just retweeted it.
Well, good.
I'm going to go bet a lot of money on
I've been waiting.
A knockout.
About 4 or 5 years for this fight. I've been waiting for this fight for a long time, and not as long as I've been waiting for Tim Grunhardt to get in the Chiefs Hall of Fame. The wait's over.
Oh, boy.
The search is over. You were with me all the while. Survivor, play it. Beautiful love song, and I love Tim Grunhardt. Timmy, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. It's been an emotional week. It's been, it's emotionally tiring week, but it's been an awesome week, and I do want to thank all of you guys over at 810. I was able to take a peek at that Twitter deal yesterday that you guys did, and that was really nice. And all of you guys, man, love you guys. You guys are great people over there. I'm glad that we've been working together for so many years, and you guys are like brothers to me, and I'm glad I could share this with you and Kansas City. But yeah, you know, just kind of ready to move on from that whole deal. And we're going to have hopefully the Chiefs came out with kind of, you know, the top 10 games that are going to be played in the NFL this year. And the Chiefs have three of them. So hopefully one of those three will be our little ceremony, and we'll even have another celebration then.
Well, I'm not interested in talking about that, because I'll never let this Hall of Fame thing go until you're actually inducted. Because how many times did you text me? Would you text me during the show when I'd bring it up, and you would text me, "Stop it. Stop talking about that."
Every time.
And I wanted to. And see, now, crank this up. The search is over. The search is over for you. You found, the Hall of Fame found you. You found the Chiefs Hall of Fame. Like a beautiful love story. Did you, so you watched our tribute video that was posted?
I did.
Did you like, did you like the fact that I took that opportunity to apologize to Sarah for our conduct at P&L during that playoff game? So I'll never stop being sorry.
You got a belly laugh out of Sarah.
Oh, good.
Very, very hard to do. You know, we were actually watching it together when she popped up there and started saying that. She was laughing. That was great. And, you know what? We need to apologize pretty much for the next 20, 25 years after that night. So,
hey.
As I stumbled my way out into Power and Light and just everybody said, "Where's Gurney?" And nobody knew. Right. I was just walking around aimlessly. Yeah, that was a fun night.
Except for the outcome of the game, but it was fun. The journey, the destination wasn't fun, but the journey was wonderful.
The journey was great. It absolutely was.
So you had Frank Bowl, as old as he is, put together a hell of a show for you in crunch time. And if Frank Bowl does something, being the godfather of sports, then you know it means something. Yeah. And so what kind of surprises, what kind of guests did you have in this week's episode of Crunch Time?
Yeah, so I started Crunch Time like I always do, talking about CBD American Shaman and, you know, the water solubles and tinctures and all that. And that great sponsor, go over there. And he said, stop. We have a This Is Your Life show, and I had no idea it was going to happen. Sarah did. She gave Frank some of the numbers of some of those people that were close to me. And then all of a sudden, there's Carl Peterson, and he started the whole show with the 40th pick in the 1990 NFL draft. We are going to select Tim Grunhardt. And then he went on, and then right after that, it was, "Let me tell you something, Tim Grunhardt. Your ass's ass still owes me for putting you on the field at the University of Notre Dame."
Right.
So then Lou Holtz came on, and then my high school coach, Coach Mike O'Neill, who I haven't really talked to in a while, it was great to hear from him. And then there was a break, and then there was, of course, Billy Bob Moss, who was the original member of Crunch Time with me and Frank. And Billy and I had many battles on the field together, and he did a lot for me early in my career. As you know, Mike Webster was kind of my mentor, but when Webby left, Billy Bob kind of took over, and and we did a lot of things together, a lot of fun things, probably some things we can never talk about.
Hey, let's hear about that on the air now. Let's take a walk down that memory lane. Annie Santa Fe. No, I'm sorry.
They may start taking the name down off of the Ring of Fame if they start telling those stories. But then my buddy Dave Zock came on, and God, I love him like a brother. And I talked to him about once a week, and it was great to hear from him. And he was so happy and excited. And I hope someday he has the opportunity to experience this, because a little like Trey Smith, who was drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs this year, kind of a real late round guy that really has an opportunity. With Trey Smith, has an opportunity, just like Dave Zott took that opportunity and ran with it and had a great NFL career. So Dave was awesome. We told some stories, and we mentioned a little bit of the Topper stories. We mentioned a little bit of us living together and rooming together basically for 11 years on the road, and when we had the opportunity to have our own room, which is what happens when you're about 5 or 6 years in the league, we opted out of that because we just were superstitious and liked room together, which was very unique at that time. And then Coach, your favorite, maybe your second favorite high school coach behind Rick Byers, Coach John Holmes, came on. And he was great, too. And, you know, he's like a son to me. I'm that old. He's like a son to me, and he's a great, great guy, great coach, great leader of kids, and did a great job of coaching, being the head coach for my kids. So it was very emotional. And then you guys do that thing on Twitter. So it's been an emotional week, and I've had so many beautiful messages from people on Twitter, which is unusual, because usually I'm getting slammed on Twitter for something. Right. Usually it's for my grammar, but other than that. So it's been great on that, and then a lot of emails, a lot of text messages. I want to apologize to some people out there. And this isn't, braggadocious. I probably got 1,000 text messages within Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So Saturday after that event was over, I just kind of put my phone down and went to the spring game and watched Colin play. And Sunday morning we got up and we flew here to Florida. And came in here. We got here late. It was a full day of travel, and then we've been doing a bunch of stuff with contractors here. We got a little place we just bought down here, and I finally sat down on Tuesday and Wednesday and started going through all those messages, and got back to just about as hopefully everybody. It's been a great week, but it's been an emotional week, and I love you guys, seriously, and I say that from the deep down bowels of my heart, that you guys are very, very special to me. Kansas City is very, very special to me. That's why we stayed. That's why we raised our family here. That's why we think that Kansas City is the place that we'd love to have our kids come back and settle in, because it's such a wonderful place, such a great place to raise kids, and the people there are just outstanding. Anytime I've asked anybody from Kansas City to help out with a charitable event, anytime we've asked Kansas City people to help out with anything that has to do with the Chiefs Nation, the Chiefs Kingdom, excuse me, we were granted that help. So thank you guys out there. And I can't wait for this football season to start. The summer is coming around here, and, you know, we'll have our OTAs and our training camp, and hopefully training camp's up in St. Joe, Stephen, so you and I can go up there again and hang out. I just can't wait for the football season to start and kind of get things going again. But it's been a great week, and you guys have been a big, big part of it at 810 WHB.
Are you going to ride a horse out there on the field for your induction ceremony to honor your fallen friend?
Do you think they'll let me on that horse? What's that horse's name again?
War Paint? Right.
Yeah, War Paint.
Sure.
You think they'll let me on War Paint?
You do whatever you want. Hall of Famer. Do whatever you want.
You remember those cartoons when the big, big guys got off the horses and they look like a U. I don't want War Paint to have a broken back and like a U coming off.
No, we don't want that.
Yeah, we don't want that. No. So, I'll do whatever they want me to do. You know that.
Well, we're so excited for you, and we wanted to. I know you don't want to talk about this anymore, but that's why we made you talk about it again, because I like when you're fidgety. We could tell that you're trying to push us on with this. But Jake, do you want to say anything Tim Grenhard to take this opportunity publicly?
I mean, look, I don't want to make Grenny, you know, any more uncomfortable than he is.
Oh, but I want you to. So
I did on Monday, man. I let him have it on Monday, and I was just basically saying that, you know, if you would have told the 15, 16, 17-year-old Jake, you know, that'd be like 95, 96, 97, mm-hmm. like, you know, that I was actually going to have Tim Grenhard's number in my phone and it would be at my disposal anytime I wanted to vent on anything, you know, go back and forth, I wouldn't have believed you. And the fact that, you know, I respect that the man you are today more than anything that had anything to do with the football player, Tim Grenhard. It's an honor to know you man to man, and the father you are, and the man of faith that you are. I have a great, profound respect for that. And look, I try to, as crazy as may sound, I try to model myself after you as a man of faith, because you are rooted, and it shows in your actions. And so, you know, I have a profound respect for you and your family, and just, you know, you're a family first guy, and that doesn't just mean your blood family. That's, you know, us too. Like, anybody who's close to you, you consider them family, and it's telling. And if you're around you at any, you know, so.
And I want
Jake, you and I have gone through a lot of the same kind of changes in our life.
Right.
And I've watched you do that also. And then, you know, man, I was so jealous, and I think it was such a cool thing that you took that time to go up and kind of find yourself and go up there and work on that book that you're going to write, and also just put the internet, put the phone away, and just kind of get back to your spirit self, and that is so cool. So, hey, you guys, man, listen, there's everybody. You know, Stephen, I love the way that you deal with your kids and what you've done for St. Pius and what you do all over Kansas City, and Nate, same thing with your kids. And you know what, your promotion of MLS soccer in Kansas City has done wonders for sporting. So we've all had our fingers on the pulse of different things in Kansas City, and we've all kind of added to that. And I think that's part of our responsibility, our civic responsibility. You know, we've been granted a opportunity to have a voice. We've been granted an opportunity to maybe lead. And we've all taken that opportunity. And you know what? And that's what's special. That's what makes Kansas City so special. It really does. And, you know, there's so many great people here, but people care about Kansas City. People, whether it's sports life, whether it's the, you know, the civics, or whether it's, you know, making sure that, that, you know, there's fairness for all people. That, to me, is so important. You know, one of my favorite things, and one of the things that I love so, so much, is working with Big Brothers and Big Sisters.
That's right.
And picking up my little Zion, who I told Zion, and he said, oh, that's cool. He had no idea what the heck it was. But that's cool. That's what it's all about. So we took him down to the Baseball Negro Leagues Museum on Sunday, and he loved it. It was great. We went and got some ice cream, and that's how we celebrated Sunday. We walked around 18th and Vine, showed him some cool areas, went to the Jazz Museum. And that's what we did Sunday. So that's what it's all about. I mean, that's what reaching out, reaching your hand across, you know, different ethnic lines, reaching your hands across to touch other people's lives. And that's why Kansas City is so great. And that's why I feel so comfortable here, where there's so much turmoil and so many issues all over this country. It feels like we do have a little bit of a beacon or an island of kind of calmness, and a little bit of island of, I think, greatness in Kansas City.
True that, man.
Did you notice also when you and Sarah sat down to watch the tribute video from Sports Radio 810? Because Ali Trost putting that together was crystal clear when I went in there to record. Keep it to 30 seconds or less. Did you see who kept it to 30 seconds or less and who didn't on this show?
I did. Leaves was a little long.
No, Nate took that. I thought it was a Nate tribute video. To the point, I want you to know this, there was not enough time left for Jake. Jake recorded a heartfelt sentiment.
He took my time.
I even heard Jake.
I got edited
Jake
out.
teared up, and they had to remove his because Nate took so long. Unbelievable.
Nate.
Did she not tell you 30 seconds, or you just didn't care?
No, she didn't tell me that.
Well, she told everyone else. And now Jake wasn't in there because of that.
How long is mine?
I think 5 minutes.
Wow. Well, I had a lot of things I wanted to get off my chest about.
Right. You want to go back? I'm going to go back and measure it. I'm going to see.
Three.
You know what? Sorry, not sorry. Well, you should have gotten in there sooner.
That's all right. That's all right, Grunny.
You know, stand by everything I said about Grunny in that
That's
video.
Exactly right. All right, Timmy, we'll get you off the hook. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk some football, all right?
Yeah, awesome.
And then Nate wants to talk about the new Kansas football coach,
too. Yes, I do.
So.
Okay.
Yep.
We can
ready
do that,
to
too.
Fill his
I'm
head
ready
with good thoughts. We will take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us, Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati, with Jake Gutierrez, rejoined by Tim Grunhard. So, Timmy, what did you think of the introductory press conference? What did you think of the hire by Kansas? Your son plays at KU, so obviously you have a vested interest. What have you thought about the first week on the job? Tell Nate things that are going to make Nate smile, please.
Well, I'll try. I think Lance Leipold came in, and I think he did it the right way. In the spring game, he kind of sat back and let that coaching staff coach, which I thought was a classy move. You know, most coaches would go down there and kind of big time and maybe stand in the end zone or stand on the sideline and kind of cross their arms and kind of watch over the proceedings. He didn't do that. I know he watched. He probably was up in a press box, but he was nowhere to be seen because I was looking around. And I wanted to see kind of how he handled that, and I thought he handled that really well. So the week started out, I thought, with a positive note. But those guys who coached all spring kind of have the limelight and now feel that pressure of having the next head coach standing over there and watching the whole proceeding. I talked to Colin. Colin met with his offensive line coach, met with the offensive coordinator, and then met with Coach Leipold a couple of days ago. So, you know what he did say, guys, and you guys are going to love this. He said he listened to WHB when he was in Nebraska, and he used to hear me on the show. So he is a fan of 810 WHB. He told Colin that, and Colin got a chuckle out of that. So I don't even remember when he was in Nebraska or what the whole deal was, but that's what he said to Colin. So he did listen to the shows and listen to me, and he said, listen, he's very, very excited about being at Kansas. He met with just about every player. I think there's like 70 or 75 guys right now on the roster. I think he met with all of those guys. And now he is in the recruiting process. I know that he has contacted and talked with a bunch of the high school coaches in Kansas City, including Coach Holmes, made great impressions on those guys and has let them know that this is a point of emphasis that he needs to recruit the Kansas and Missouri area and keep some of the great talent in Kansas. The ones that they can't get to go to Missouri, Stephen, they want to get those guys. So,
good luck.
You know, that is kind of what they're trying to do. So I think that's a good way of attacking the whole situation. Coach Scott Fuchs, who is the offensive line coach, Colin had a very nice conversation with him.
Are you sure that's the way you pronounce his last name? Because Jake had a – just want to make sure. I want to do things right here, so.
Yeah, the H is not a K.
Okay, I didn't – I wasn't, you know, I wasn't suggesting that. I just
– sure. I believe that that's the way that you pronounce it. And, okay. So, you know, good things going on. I mean, right now there's a big break. At Kansas, I'm not sure exactly what the summer program is going to entail for them. Their summer program had a schedule that now may change a little bit, so I think they're probably working on that. But for all the Kansas fans out there, you know, I think Coach Leipold right now is working on recruiting. I do think he's looking at some of the guys in the transfer portal to see if he could bring some guys in, because there's just a lot of that going on right now. A lot of guys are leaving, and some guys are probably going to come in. So that is part of the process with this new NCAA kind of 2.0 with this whole, you know, one-time transfer free card that people are getting. So that is part of the process that he's going through right now. And let's hope that once they get all their ducks in a row, they can kind of get their offense going and get their offense in. And that's going to be the challenge for this team. You know, there's no spring with this offense. Now, to be really honest with you, most offenses, you know, I went through three different offensive coordinators in Kansas City and four or five different offensive line coaches. Most offenses are very, very similar. You know, most of the verbiage is very similar, but there are some nuances and there are some different things that offensive coordinators will bring in and head coaches will bring in that the guys have got to learn. And they did not have the opportunity to work on that in the spring. So this summer is going to be important with doing kind of, for lack of a better term, the OTA stuff that they do. Now, remember, they cannot meet with coaches on the field in the summer. I do believe, and this changed since the last time that I was coaching in college, I do believe that they can have some meetings during the week so they can get some of that installation done during the week. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys, if you know anything different, but I think there's a couple opportunities during the summer where they can meet with their assistant coaches. So that'll be a good thing. But this training camp is going to be hugely important for the University of Kansas. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of setback it is for that offense and defense with the new coordinators, or is it going to be, you know, status quo, and, you know, and maybe the guys can pick it up pretty early. And, you know, I'm hoping that they can win 3 or 4 games this year and start a trend in the positive way, but we'll see. But Coach Leipold has done everything right so far and has met with the players. He's hired his coaching staff. He kept a couple guys from the Kansas coaching staff that I think were important to keep around. And now they're going on to getting to work.
We have Tim Grunhard on the line. Will you come back and talk with us more?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. That's Tim Grunhard. When we come back, we'll talk to Timmy about the offensive line of Nate as he follow-up questions about Kansas football and a new free agent wide receiver for Jake and Nate to consider to see if ever get them on the same page about pursuing a wide receiver.
Probably not.
Okay. Well, we'll find see. Out.
Yeah, I think we can. No,
we'll find out after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jake Gutierrez. We now will continue our conversation with Tim Grunhard. And Timmy, you mentioned the that top 10 list of regular season games that are scheduled for 2021. Done by Nick Shook at NFL.com. He had me shook when I read it. Boy, number 10, Jacksonville at the Jets. I feel like I could, even though it is Trevor Lawrence against Zach Wilson, but I feel like I could get through my Sunday without watching that just fine. Number 9 is the Giants at the Cowboys. I don't like watching the Giants, and I'm sick of the Cowboys, so I'll pass on that one. Number 8, Tampa Bay at the Rams. I'll watch that. Matthew Stafford with the Rams now in Tampa. Yeah, I like that. Number 7, Buffalo at Tampa. Yes. Yep. I'll watch that too. That's a great one. Number 6 is Green Bay at San Francisco. Number 5, Chiefs at Ravens.
Yeah, every year that's put in, and then every year the Chiefs go there and kick their ass.
There we go.
I don't know.
There we go. Yeah, now you're talking.
Of course I'm going to watch it, but... You know, that should have been about 10, and they could have knocked out the Jets and whoever they're playing.
Number four.
Whoever the Jets are playing should not be in the top 10 ever.
Correct.
Not right now. Not right now.
Number 4, Cleveland at Pittsburgh. That's a doozy. I'll watch that one. I love that. Mm-hmm. Number 3, Buffalo at Kansas City.
Yeah, now we're starting to get the juices flowing.
Now.
Absolutely.
Okay, the top two, and I don't think anyone could really argue with these two games being the most attractive regular season matchups coming up, right? But you could argue what's one and what's two. So I'll ask you guys, what's one, in your mind, what should be one and two? For us, it's the Chiefs, but I'm talking about nationwide. What do you think will get more attention nationwide? Do you think it'll be...
Well, if it's the Packers with Aaron Rodgers, then...
And the Chiefs. Okay, it's one option's the Packers and the Chiefs. We still have not seen Aaron Rodgers against Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. The other option is Tampa at New England, Tom Brady against the Patriots.
Yeah, so it just depends on the Aaron Rodgers factor. If Aaron Rodgers is not playing for the Packers, and it shouldn't be number one.
Well, I hate the Bucks and the Patriots now, but I can't wait to watch Tom Brady at the Patriots. I'll tell you that. I'll watch that.
That should be number one.
I might shut off Red Zone for that.
Yeah. And I think the Chiefs and Packers are number one right now, right?
The Chiefs and Packers are ranked the number one regular season game
that's
over.
That's going to change when Rodgers gets traded.
Oh,
he's not getting traded.
But right now on paper.
He's going back to Green Bay. Is it bad that I think I might root for the Patriots in that game?
No. You can root for whoever the hell you want.
No.
Was that bad, Timmy?
Like, I'd love to see Belichick just shut Brady down and crush him.
Well, you know, that's probably not going to happen, but just, who knows? Maybe. Timmy.
Brady will cry himself to sleep with that Super Bowl ring he won without Belichick.
So you heard Nate and Jake just kind of trade barbs. Do you believe Aaron Rodgers will play for the Packers next year, play for another team, or be retired?
Wow. I think that he'll end up being back with the Packers, and they're going to both find a way to ship him off after that. I just don't know if there's time.
So you think Nate's dead wrong, basically, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I think Nate's wrong. I think that, you know, Aaron Rodgers, all indications are that the Packers are going to retain him and keep him there and not give him any options. I mean, they kind of have it. Now, he could sit out.
By the way,
that's
I just
a Chiefs
want you to
Hall
know,
of Famer that's telling you you're dead wrong.
I'm fine with that.
Look at him in there.
I just want you to know, Gutierrez is back there celebrating like this actually means
Hercules,
that it happened.
Hercules.
Like he's celebrating like it's all. Oh well, it's a done deal. Grunty just said so I win.
Well,
his word carries a lot of weight.
That's a Chiefs Hall of Famer you're talking to.
Nate, I never disagree with you. Usually you and I are right on the same page with everything. So don't take it personal, and I know you don't. But no, hey. I
need you to know something, Grunty. I'm emotionally on a knife's edge right now.
Wow.
Matt Beisler is coming back to Kansas City, going to be wearing a different uniform on Sunday, and so I'm already very volatile right now, and now you're just you're pushing me over.
I will say, Grunty, that's we're in the minority. Like, most people think that he's such a grudge bearer that he would be willing to sit out or that they're going to ship him out.
The money. Hey, he's got so much money, he can sit out.
Yeah, when it comes to this thing, he wants to win.
I'm in the minority because
he wants to win this battle.
Because I'm Mexican, so.
Well,
right.
Yes,
I'm just. I am in the minority.
Familia,
Timmy. Look, before we get into the offensive line,
wow, there's a lot of stuff to talk about.
Right,
there.
I know we got to speed through this thing. I think we all kind of wouldn't mind if the Chiefs signed a free agent wide receiver. And so, how about this tweet? Does this tickle your fancy at all? Anyone here? Jeremy Fowler, who has very good information from ESPN, says former Jags wide receiver Dede Westbrook has received interest from several teams as he's 6+ months removed from a torn ACL, trending toward August availability for a training camp somewhere. Westbrook had back-to-back 60-catch seasons from 2018 and 2019, and if you consider who was throwing him the football, I say that's very impressive. Would you sniff around Dede Westbrook as a possible free agent addition to the wide receiving group?
Yes, absolutely. And I don't want to sit here and pile on Mecole Hardman, but it just hasn't quite worked out yet for him. I'm rooting for him. I hope it does. But it hasn't quite worked out for him. So you bring in Dede Westbrook, a proven guy who's a stud. I mean, when he's healthy and with a guy like Patrick Mahomes, it'd be amazing to watch him and Hill either on the same side or opposite sides. I would not want to be a corner slash or a safety. You know, who do you worry about? You worry about how about a mesh pattern between those two?
Thank you.
The speed going across the field, somebody's going to pop open.
Oh,
and
stop
once,
it.
Whoever those two guys that catch the ball are gone. I mean, they're gone. So, and then they got a big wide receiver from the kid from Clemson is a big guy, physical guy. That's what I wanted. I think he's going to be a nice little changeup for the Chiefs. You know, Travis Kelce, when they shut him down a little bit, you know, we just had to go with kind of the finesse passing game with Mecole Hardman and Tyreek Hill kind of in the Super Bowl. It just didn't quite work out right. So you got to have another big body in there, but you have that kind of speed. Speed in the NFL kills, and you got a wide receiver who wants to get back on a team that throws the ball and has a guy like Patrick Mahomes. I'm betting that Dede Westbrook is a guy that certainly, certainly would be interested in coming to Kansas City. And it's a lot like college now, guys. These guys are being recruited. And Patrick Mahomes, if he wants D.D. Westbrook, which possibly would, they're going to get him.
I want him.
I mean, it's as simple as that.
Nate Buchanan, can I interest you in a D.D. Westbrook at 27 years old, or do you pass?
Absolutely.
You get it, or do you pass?
No, I receive.
Receiver.
Whoa. That's what I've heard. Definitely what I've heard.
But he's coming off the torn ACL, but he'll be ready. He'll be ready by August. Yeah. He's 27 years old. He had back-to-back 66 catch seasons in a bad Jacksonville offense. He's an explosive receiver.
And an ACL is something the guy can come back from 100%. You know, like, or very
even,
close to
even,
it.
Even stronger sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, shoot.
Blake Bortles throwing him the ball. Are you kidding me?
What? He's fast. I watched him a lot up close and in person in college.
Oh, dude's like a 4.3 40.
So you like it?
I like it a lot.
I mean, there's several teams out there after him, but hey, if you're D.D. Westbrook and you're picking teams, like,
you're tired of having like chumps throw you the ball, you know?
Timmy, what if a newly inducted Chiefs Hall of Famer called D.D. Westbrook to try to? Can't you? You got connections? Can you make that happen?
If that's what it takes, I'll do it. You know, I will tell you this: I was lucky enough a couple years ago to go with the team on the team plane to the Jacksonville game at the beginning of the year. I think it was 2019. So when you get over to the complex, what they do is they kind of show you around. You're with a bunch of sponsors and a bunch of different people that have never really been in the facility. And so they take you around and you meet some different people. And then you kind of end up in the player personnel, the pro player personnel room. And what they do is they kind of go through the game plan of, you know, okay, here's the guys we got to stop. This is what we're going to try and do. And it's kind of cool. And people enjoy that. And the pro player personnel guys running stuff back and forth. And they concentrated on D.D. Westbrook the whole time when they were talking about our defense against their offense. And the pro personnel guy was just gushing about how great D.D. Westbrook was. And he's still there. So if that's any indication from just a little bit of inside poker, that the Chiefs really respect and really like the way that D.D. Westbrook plays. And they were just gushing over, watch this guy play, watch how fast he is, watch how he can catch the ball, watch how, you know, he sets these safeties and corners up, and look at his route running. And it was kind of fun to watch. So they do like the Chiefs organization, just like a lot of organizations. I don't think I'm telling any inside secrets, but like a lot of organizations, they like D.D. Westbrook. But I do. I've seen and I know that the Chiefs have had him on the radar when they were playing him, as well they should.
Let's make that our new campaign. D.D. Westbrook to Kansas City. Now, Grunny,
you
were selected in the second round, and you became a hell of a center for the Chiefs. That's right, Hall of Famer. Rodney Hudson was selected in the second round and was a hell of a center for the Chiefs. Mitch Morse out of Mizzou was selected in the second round and became a hell of a center for the Kansas City Chiefs. Creed Humphrey selected in the second round. Do you think he's going to be one hell of a center for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, I do. I think that, you know, he's going to start this year. I'm making that prediction. I think they're going to put him in there. It's going to be an interesting offensive line. And the thing that you have Brown, you have Tunney, you have Humphreys, you have LDT, you have Remmers. How many can you keep? That's the thing. I mean, right now, if you look at it, usually an NFL team will keep 9 offensive linemen. And every once in a while, they'll reach and maybe keep 10 offensive linemen. And nowadays, with that practice squad, maybe you keep 11 offensive linemen. But so what are you going to do?
Maybe they can trade one. Wait for somebody to get hurt and trade one.
Orlando Brown is going to start, obviously, at left tackle. You got Tony at left guard. You got Humphreys at center. You got LDT probably going to start at right. And then you have a battle between Yang and Remmers and maybe Long at the right tackle. But if you look at this, I think Blythe is the man out. I don't even think he makes the team now, because I think Al Greddy is the guy that they're going to keep around. They like Al Greddy. Al Greddy, you know, played a couple games last year, and he played pretty good other than the Super Bowl, but nobody played good in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, you know, that was just an outlier. It was just a bad game with the frenzying defensive line for the Tampa Bay Bucks just going after the quarterback, and it was just you can't stop those frenzies sometimes. So, you know, Trey Smith, he's going to make the team. I like this kid. I like this kid a lot. He's a leader. He was a five-star kid coming out of high school. He was right there with the All-American awards at the end of the year. He's a big, strong, physical guy, and I like him. I think this is a steal in this draft. So, who stays on the team and who doesn't? You got Long, you got Allegretti, you got Yang, you got Smith. You know, you can only keep 10. Maybe you do trade one, or you know, you have, if you do keep Blythe, is that 11? You put Trey Smith on the practice squad, but he's got to clear the practice squad stuff. Remember, so I think he's going to make it too. And you know, we can't do the old Marty Schottenheimer with the last play of the preseason game. You start limping off the field like you blew your ACL out, and the next thing you know, you're on the roster.
You know, I got a bad foot here. Hold on. Wait a minute.
We ain't touching that guy. He's hurt. And then all of a sudden, he clears waivers. That was a real thing. So they're in a great position on the offensive line. The other thing I like about this offensive line, it got tougher. It got more physical. Brown at times plays high in the run game. I got it. I get it. But when he gets on you, he puts those paws on you. You can't get away. I mean, there are some times when he is really dominant in the run game. He just struggles with movement a little bit, but I think he'll get better at that when you have Tony next to you as an all-pro guy that you know that, hey, listen, if I whiff on this guy, if I'm being aggressive to the outside shoulder, he goes inside and we're running a zone, I know my guy's going to be there. I'm not sure if you had that same exact feeling when he's with Baltimore. I think Humphreys is another physical guy. This is a big physical dude. He struggles sometimes. You know why he struggles? He struggles because in space, he's too aggressive. The good ones run underneath. If I was going to tell him one thing, and when I say the good ones run underneath, when you're playing against a linebacker and you're over-aggressive and you're going and you're flying out there, they will juke you to underneath the backside of you, and they're quick enough and fast enough and agile enough to get around you on the backside of you and make the play. So Mike Webster and you know, Howard Mudd and all those guys would say, listen, you got to break down. You got to slow down when you get up to that second level because they will make you miss to the backside and they're fast enough to come around. So the old adage was with linebackers, the good ones run underneath. So he's got to slow down. That's what he struggles with. If you watch him in space, there's times when guys are just kind of beating him around his backside and making plays because he's so aggressive. And that's kind of the stuff. You love the aggressiveness. You don't want to take the bite out of the puppy. But he's got to kind of learn to kind of massage that a little bit. But he hasn't given up sack. Oh, by the way, I got to ask you guys this. And I tried to look this up. Who's given up all these sacks in college football? Because if you, everybody that I've seen in the draft, 2,000 snaps without giving up a sack. You name it, all these guys, you look at it. So sacks are up in college football. Who's giving up? There must be one guy in each offensive line that gives up like 15, 20 sacks a game or a year. It's just kind of funny, this new stat. And I believe it. I was reading the stat on Humphreys, and it said 2,342 snaps without giving up a sack. And then, you know, Orlando Brown, you know, when he was in college, he didn't give up a sack. So who's giving up all these sacks?
I'll tell you who, Grunny.
Kansas.
Kansas. I mean, you know, in all seriousness, like all the guys that didn't get drafted, you know, like, you know, that's like, it's like, you know, they used to say in Major League Baseball, you get all your hits off the bad pitchers. And then you just try to squeak one out every once in a while against the really good pitchers. And that's, there's a whole lot of guys that didn't get drafted that are playing college football. Those are the guys that gave up all the sacks.
I know. I mean, it's amazing. It's just funny. Every time you look at one of these breakdowns of a draft pick, they're always like, didn't give up a sack in 3 years. Didn't give up a sack in 4 years. And I'm like, wow. I mean, that's pretty impressive. But I just thought it's kind of a little funny little side note. But this offensive line has gotten more physical, has gotten bigger. And don't get me wrong. I thought Fisher and Schwartz were excellent tackles, and I think they won a Super Bowl. But the guys that are replacing them, if Long especially replaces Schwartz, these are more physical guys, a little bit tougher guys. Now, they may struggle a little bit more in maybe some one-on-one pass protection with Fisher and Schwartz, which is a possibility. But they do bring a lot more physicality, I think, than those two do. And I'm saying those guys weren't physical, but they were known more for their technique and their finesse and their hand placement and their great feet and their hips down and all those kind of things. Now, you look at Brown, His technique is a little shaky at different times because he's so big. He gets a little top heavy. He's a waist bender at times, and he gets himself out of position. But he's so big, it's like running around a mountain. It takes time to get around him, and that's all you need is a little bit of time in the NFL to get the ball out. And then Long and Remmers are both guys that maybe don't have the athleticism and the technique that Schwartz had, but they do bring some physicality, too, that maybe Schwartz didn't have with some of the injuries he had the last couple of years. So this is an interesting offensive line, and it's really deep. And they got about 12 or 13 guys that could make a team and make this team, and it's going to be interesting to see how that breaks down. Because I think the Chiefs could probably keep 9 comfortably. They could stretch it and keep 10, but there's a lot of 11, 12, 13 guys on this offensive line that are going to be playing somewhere in the NFL. And with saying that it was a point of emphasis from Clark Hunt when he said after the season, I do not want to be in a position where one of our top guys get hurt, we have nobody to go to, and the next thing you know, our quarterback is running around for his life. That's not going to happen again. And guess what? They addressed that because the guys that are second team are guys that probably could start on a lot of other teams and are on the Chiefs. So this Chiefs offensive line is not only good, but they're deep.
Timmy, congratulations again. We always love talking football with you. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Can't wait.
That's Tim Grunhard. We'll talk to Kevin Ioli next to talk about the big fight on Saturday night between Canelo Alvarez and Billy Joe Saunders. Back after this on WHB.